Hey, you know that little boop boop and the music starts the show. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. It's November 15th. It's noon here in the East Coast, and out where in Washington where my guests are, it's only 9 a.m., so they got a whole day of work in front of them, and I'm halfway done. Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's not work. It's fun. When you love your job, it's never work. And I know the gang over at West Valley District 208, who's going to be my guest today out in Washington State near Yakima, is looks at their job as just a great thing to do every day. We'll find out because we got some guests, but Superintendent Mike Brophy is there, so I know they're all going to agree with me. Okay, that'll be Peter Finch and the famous actor, I assume, Angela Watts and Chris Nesmith. And I thought Peter Finch was long gone, but that's besides the point. He's the superintendent for teaching and learning. They're doing great stuff out there in West Valley, and we're going to find out all about it with Mike, who's been a guest before, and it's a pleasure to have him back here. He contacted me, and I love bringing my superintendents back on. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio, just like we always do. Our Facebook page is EduTalk Radio as well. You can friend us over there. Without further ado, how's the weather in Washington? Mike Brophy.
Well, tell you what, Larry. Angela is unable to be with us today, so I have with me today, I have Peter Finch, Assistant Superintendent for Teaching and Learning, and I have Chris Nesmith, who is our Career and Tech Ed Director. But to your question, the weather, it's getting a little bit cold here now. It's we've even had a little shot of some pretty cold weather here lately.
What's pretty cold, Mike? I live in Maine.
Well, pretty cold is in the 30s. It'll start getting colder as well. So that's what pretty cold is here.
And now you guys don't go to work. You all love your jobs, right?
Oh, we all love our jobs. And we go to work rain, you know, any weather we have, we come every day and we try to do the best we can for our kids here.
And I know you do. And you were on before with my good friends from Discovery Education. Pardon me, I'm having an allergy attack here. Okay, my throat closes up when this happens. Bear with me for a second. And you were with me with Discovery Education last time, right?
Yes, I was. I was on with Mark Edwards, who's a superintendent at Mooresville, North Carolina. And we had a nice visit about our blended learning initiative here in West Valley. And we're just excited today with Peter and Chris to share some of our latest innovations as well.
And I'm sorry Angela can't be with us. She's the superintendent for business and operations, which sometimes gets lost in the shuffle of things, okay, because we're always talking about the education side. So, Angela, I'm sorry you couldn't be here. Peter, are you the famous actor?
I'm Peter Dallas Finch, the long line of educators. My father, Roger Dallas, was a teacher. My granddad, Dallas, was a band director here in the Yakima Valley. So
wow.
Got the Dallas in there.
Great, cool. And, Chris, I love CTE. I just love it.
Right. Well, I share your passion.
Right. It's just it's a wonderful part of education because when you think about it, that's exactly – it pinpoints exactly what education is supposed to do, which is career and technical. Okay, not that the two are so separate, by the way. All right, but, you know, it used to be shop class, and that's not the way it is anymore. It's STEM. It's wonderful. It's preparing kids for great careers. So I think what you do is terrific.
Wait till you hear about the good work that's happening with Chris here in West Valley. When we hired Chris, we knew he was the all-star. And he's just taking things to the next level. Mike and I both got our doctorate degree from Washington State University, and we've got Chris in the program now. So he's taking things to a new level.
And well, where did he go to school?
My bachelor's degree is from Central Washington University, and I did my master's degree through the University of Washington. So, and now I'm over at WSU in their superintendent program, ideally moving into the EDD program.
Good for you. That's absolutely excellent. It's wonderful to hear. All right. We're going to talk about a number of things, but Mike, can you just go over the description of the district? I can start. Okay. School district, 5,300 students located just west of Yakima, Washington, in the agricultural center of our state. And I want you to tell me if you consider the district a rural district. because I love doing shows on rural education. So just pinpoint, talk a little bit, just demographically explain the district to everybody, and geographically.
Well, we're right in the south central exact center of Washington State, in what you've described as the agricultural center. We're a district of 5,300 students. Some ways we're described as rural, and some ways we're described as suburban on forms as well, because we're located right next to Yakima, which is a larger city, and we kind of get both of those classifications sometimes, Larry. We have six elementary schools, a middle level campus, a high school, and then we also this last year have grown an online virtual academy as well.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And of suburban and rural, which do you want to be? Which are you? You tell me, Superintendent.
I would classify us as rural.
Cool. And I live in a rural area, too. And as I do work with the Rural Education Association, okay, everybody always thinks of rural as the hollows of Kentucky or something, all right? But that's not accurate, okay? A rural, obviously, is everywhere, but a rural school district, okay, like where I live here in about 30 miles west of the city of Portland, Maine, okay, is a rural school district. And there is a difference between the two. There are challenges. Of course, they're usually bigger geographically, et cetera, that make a lot of difference. And sometimes it's hard for the kids to get internet if they're rural at home. And let me ask you that before we go into this other stuff. Is there a good, I'll call it digital equity throughout the district when the kids go home, Mike?
Larry, that's one of our current challenges. One of our goals as a district this year is to try to achieve digital equity with all students. We're working with a couple different providers right now on seeking ways to bridge the digital divide, we call it.
Yep.
And we're going to probably work that through teachers who provide flipped classroom and opportunities for kids to work at home. Probably try to work some devices through teachers based on teachers who most actively engage students in blended learning in our schools.
How interesting. Stay in touch with me at how that program works. I'd like to do something about that as time goes by. Would you do that for me?
We certainly will.
Yeah,
we
really.
Certainly will.
That's a different take on it, and I really like it. And I want... I don't know your kids at all, okay, but you're in, I'm going to call it a rural district, okay, because suburbia, they're all connected for the most part, okay, so I'm going to call it a rural district, but you've got the same challenges every other district in the country has, so what's the district vision, okay, and then talk about how that's being acted on within the district.
Well, our district vision we call the 5 steps to student success, and step one is... kindergarten readiness, and we've been recognized on a national map for having an outstanding pre-K program. We work with and teach all local preschool and child care providers with our kindergarten teachers on preparing kids for kindergarten. Peter Finch can talk more about that as well if we want to go that route.
He
supervises that program. Step two is an enriching kindergarten experience. We believe that it used to be step two was full day kindergarten because in Washington, the state only paid for half a day of kindergarten. And what we did as a school board here in a district is we went ahead and paid for full day for every single child. We had tuition based kindergarten for kids who could afford it, but our board had the vision to say no. We want to narrow the achievement gap at the entrance, and we want every single child, regardless of a parent's ability to pay, to experience full day kindergarten. So that's our second step. Our third step is we do a lot of work with trying to get all third and fourth graders to benchmark or grade level in reading and mathematics. We all know that once that learning gap at about third grade in reading, and then as we go higher in math, it's a learning gap that gets to be so overwhelmingly a challenge that you can't get kids to where they need to be. That's step three. Step four is we want kids algebra ready by eighth grade. And we know that as literacy is the gatekeeper in grade three, numeracy becomes the gatekeeper as every class a kid takes above algebra two doubles the likelihood of graduating from college, Larry. And then step
really?
Five, it used to
wow.
say college and career ready. Some of Chris's influence on me is I've switched that around to career and college ready. Not every kid goes to college, and certainly not every kid completes college. But everybody's going to find their niche and find their spot and what their career is going to be. So we really work hard at preparing kids for readiness with dual credits and rigorous technical career college coursework. That's our
well,
five steps.
And you know, I'm going to say something. I don't like, and Pete, I don't like that phrase college and career ready either, okay? Because to me, okay, you don't need the word college. All you need is career ready. And the kid can choose his or her own choice. Okay? It's that simple. And I agree with all that. This is really good. What's the other? Is there another part of the vision?
Well, that's the five steps. That guides what we do. We even our budgeting process and everything that we do is off of that vision. Our innovations come off that vision as well with all of our administrative team. And we have one of the things that I think is important, too, to emphasize is we try to have a very transparent system. We meet every week
nice.
As a leadership team, and all of our notes are done on Google Docs, and they're shared with the school board, and they're shared with the Teachers Association president.
Wonderful.
So there's
wow.
no surprises for anyone.
Wow. That is terrific, and I'm glad to hear that transparency, a pun on the parent word, is really really important these days. I just got to tell you, congratulations. And as you do all these things, I just want to ask Mike before I move on: do the parents understand all the things that you're doing? Do they get it?
I believe they do, and we're working hard at it. You know, we've had a major communication. Focus in our district. That's our major goal is communication. We have a digital newsletter that goes to every parent and throughout our community. About 6,500 digital newsletters go out every Friday. And then on the other Friday, we send what we call the Friday Five, which goes to all of our internal staff. About 600 of those digital newsletters go out. What's really cool, Larry, is I have a superintendent blog. I have a superintendent Twitter page. I put stuff on Twitter every day to highlight the great work being done by our teachers. And then what's neat is when we send out that newsletter on Friday, I will get 500 to 600 visits to my blog page, which I get
wow.
sometimes over 2,100 visits per month. So yes,
wow.
I believe our parents and our community know the great things that we're doing.
And I want to say something else, and you said this. Every other Friday, you send out a newsletter to your faculty and staff. That is a key thing, and that's overlooked by many districts. I'm good friends with Rich Bagan over at the National School Public Relations Association, and it drives him nuts when school district administration they stay in touch with the parents and the community, but not with the teachers. And if you have a vision, you have to make sure that everybody in your employ is on board and understands the vision. And the fact that you're sending out that internal communication is something that should not be overlooked and should frankly be congratulated. So I congratulate you, kind sir.
Thank you. You know, I always used to say that if somebody's in line at the grocery store and the person in line behind them is their neighbor or a friend who knows them, and they know they work for the school district, and they ask that person a question about
that's
something
right.
in the district, if that employee does not know about it, I think that's a very negative look at our district and how, you know, a parent asks a question and a staff member in line at the grocery store, for example, hasn't got a clue about it. I think that sheds
bad.
Poor light on you as a communicator and as a district.
Bingo, and that's exactly why I send my congratulations to you. You guys have some wonderful programs. Chris, I'm going to swing it a little differently. Chris, I want to talk to you. Talk to me about CTE over there. What's going on? I work with CTE a lot.
I like to say that I tell everybody we're the least innovative district in the state. And the reason why I tell everybody we're the least innovative district in the state is we look at economic labor data within our valley. And then we partner with industry partners to align what those industries need to make sure our students are certified and credentialed to enter the workforce now. So, like, our newest adoption is we adopted the American Welding Society Sense program, so our students will leave with their American Welding Society certification. So instead of saying our welding teacher knows the most and they're going to set the standard, we partner in that direction. Our most notable are our partners with Microsoft Imagine Academy, where we Microsoft certify. It's a requirement all seventh graders get their Word, Excel, and PowerPoint certifications. And then we move up through the Microsoft Imagine Academy through MTA certification, and then also our Boeing partnership, where we now lowered Boeing's Advanced Manufacturing Core Plus curriculum into the seventh grade. Students learn advanced manufacturing and lean manufacturing principles in the seventh grade in industrial science. And then that moves into our high school program where students are tied to Boeing's green light system. Boeing just ran a hiring day out of Yakima on Monday. Students are tested on the Boeing green light system. And then our newest system now is we have a registered youth apprenticeship. And that's different than apprenticeship and internship. It's tied to the Washington State Department of Labor of Industries, where students will leave with a journeyman ticket when they're done.
Yeah,
what does that
students
mean?
Are registered
wait,
apprenticeship.
Wait, what is
saying,
wait, what's a journeyman ticket? What's a journeyman ticket?
So registered apprenticeship, you hear a lot about right now apprenticeship in high schools, and a lot of it is paid internship. A registered apprenticeship means that apprenticeship organizations file their competencies with the Department of Labor in our state system, but they also have the U.S. Department of Labor, and you can have national apprenticeships who have their competencies on file. And kind of the light bulb moment was that that's very similar to what we do in CTE. We have to have our competencies that our students are going to be learning on file with
right.
the state. So what we did is we said, well, the state and federal apprenticeship system is much like what we do with the CTE, so let's partner with them. So now students are, while they're learning their CTE competencies in high school, they're also working away at the registered apprenticeship. And then this was also a major benefit because since we are partnering with the Department of Labor and Industries, we're able to leverage minors working in industrial shops. So we have 17-year-olds running industrial mills and lathes in our aerospace manufacturing plants that we have here in Yakima. So that journeyman ticket is that culmination.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's wonderful what you're doing out there. I mean, that is just great. And, you know, you mentioned Boeing, of course, the big Washington State company, and Microsoft, the big Washington State company, all right? Beyond what you just told me, are they really well involved in the schools? I'm interested in that because I think corporate social responsibility towards education is incredibly important, all right? And these days, budgets are tight, et cetera. The programs from these big companies can really, really help. And just give me your take on that, how important it is for the corporations to be involved like they are.
Well, Microsoft, I would say, as a statewide system, has done a huge work. And Boeing as well. Washington State partnered with Microsoft on the Microsoft Imagine Academy, and Microsoft provides about $20 million worth of certification vouchers. So every student in Washington State can earn their Microsoft certification completely and totally for free, and you have an endless supply. What we did that was unique with that is we just lowered that into the seventh grade. Now, Boeing, on the same end, they made an investment with the Manufacturing Industrial Council out of Seattle launched the Core Plus curriculum, and Boeing did a major investment aligning that to academic standards, Common Core, and next-gen science standards to match industry needs and to speak and really dive into and speak our language that we have to meet. And then so that way students, while they're learning that Boeing manufacturing skill, Boeing actually showed that we can learn that, hit the academic standard. And then they released that curriculum to the public domain. Anybody in the United States can have Boeing's curriculum completely and totally for free. And it's called a Core Plus.
Wow.
So, and Boeing sends in what's called subject matter experts to come in and test your students on those. So at the end of the semester.
I'm losing you.
Nope, that was it.
Okay. It just kind of all of a sudden stopped for a second. I'm very impressed. And please, when you see Mr. Boeing, tell him thank you. Okay?
Totally.
Education talk. Right? But that's great. They send in the subject matter leaders, et cetera, et cetera. Peter, Mike asked me to ask you this question. You're the assistant superintendent of teaching and learning. What do you do for a living? What do you do all day? Mike wanted me to ask you that.
Well, it's a really fun job because I work from pre-K all the way to serving on the Workforce Development Council and looking at what the trends are for our whole region for workforce development. So it's a great job. Work with teachers really closely, help to build teacher leadership. We have fantastic teacher leadership in our district. We have really strong mentoring and induction program where if you come to West Valley, you're supported through 6 years of professional development to start off, and you can be nationally board certified at the end of those 6 years. So there's a place for you in West Valley for teacher leadership or mentoring, and it's a great place for teaching and learning. The thing that I really thought I wanted to kind of piggyback on what Chris had just said about not being innovative, it's kind of funny to say, but this idea that somehow that every school district out there is going to be developing curriculum that somehow might align to what the industry standards are, that's not realistic. And what Chris brings to the table is going out and finding what the industry standards are and what that curriculum is that's already established, bringing that into the school, having our teachers become very skilled at teaching that curriculum, but not having to develop the curriculum on our own. We are aligned to what the entry point is for students if they were to graduate, and they could go to work directly for Boeing. Boeing actually comes over the mountains, and they spend 2 days in district. Day one, they prep our kids for the interview, and day two, they do the interview. They want to have skilled workers, and we're able to provide that for them. The other thing about this college and career thing that I think is really interesting is that we have students coming out of our machinist program, and they've chosen not to go to work directly for Boeing and go on and get mechanical engineering at the college level. So there's this real blend of career and technical education. It's not like a vocational track or a college track. There's a real blend, and there really is a focus on career readiness.
And what I'm very impressed with, you said that a lot of the students go right into work at Boeing, and Boeing actually comes and preps them for the interview. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it's amazing. They are wanting to have skilled workers, and so we have this great relationship where our teacher goes and gets trained by Boeing on the other side of the mountains, and then Boeing comes over and does the prepping of the kids for the interview, and then they interview them. We've had kids come, students from West Valley, get hired directly from Boeing. They're making starting $55,000 a year plus a $20,000 stipend that they can tap into for continuing education. So it's really not either or on career or college. It's career and college.
By the way, it sounds like Shangri-La. You keep referring to the other side of the mountain. Is it like unicorns dancing and you know that kind of thing? I have this picture of the other side of the mountain, which I assume that's Mount Rainier, right? Is that the mountain we're talking about?
Yeah, I got Mount Rainier, and then from this side of the mountain, you have a beautiful view of Mount Adams.
Wow, that's what a beautiful place you live in. I have to say that it is just gorgeous out there. Who's in charge of what you guys call, and this I found very interesting when Mike sent me my cheat sheet here, the Early Start program. Who runs that?
Well, Early Start was something that we thought of. It was we had a challenge of trying to work with our highly capable program, provide transportation to kids who qualified for the highly capable program, but for one reason or another, maybe had a financial barrier or some hardship that wouldn't allow their parents to transport them. So what we decided to do, Larry, was we decided to transport all kids in the morning. Elementary kids who qualified for HICAP could ride the secondary school bus an hour early and get to school. And so they could participate without any barrier. But what we had to do then was find something that would fill that time in the morning before the elementary school started.
Right.
So what we started was what we call Early Start. Early Start is an opportunity, and we extended this to all elementary kids in third or fourth grade beyond just highly capable. So a third and fourth grader in West Valley can get on the secondary school bus an hour earlier than the normal bus. They can ride to their elementary school, and they can go in and they can participate in one of 30 world languages through a Rosetta Stone on their Chromebook, because we're one-to-one starting in third grade. And so we pay for that as a district, and we have 250 kids taking 15 different languages 5 days a week, 8 o'clock to 8:45.
And I have to tell you, that's a wonderful program. I got a show coming up, just so you know, with Rosetta Stone. When the heck is that? That's on November 30th. Okay, one of their vice presidents is coming on, which I guess was one of the things that struck my interest. That's a good product, that Rosetta Stone. But the other thing that made me laugh was I was thinking of third and fourth grade students. Somebody has to tell me about this. Riding the secondary school. I think you mean the secondary school bus, like the sixth and seventh graders or whatever. And I was curious what the social interaction on those buses was as the young kids go on with the older kids. Can somebody tell me, Mike, Peter, have you guys ever rode the bus on that bus with the younger kids and the older kids? Talk to me about the bus.
The answer to that is no. I have not ridden the bus, but I want to tell you this.
I blame you. I can't say I blame you, but I was curious about the interaction. Yeah, yeah. Talk about it.
This would not have happened without the work of our transportation director, April Heiser. April worked with us very, very critical work on being able to accommodate kids on the front part of those school buses every morning with 5th through 12th graders could be on that bus, Larry. And so the kids are welcome on that bus, and we have space for them on that bus. And what it's done is it's been a great opportunity for those third and fourth graders. I've had a lot of parents express the gratitude that they get this chance. In fact, I'm going to tell you a quick story. The night we had the information meeting for parents, it was at our high school auditorium. It was packed. There had to be 400 people there, Larry. And a woman came up to me afterwards, and she came up to me and she was pushing a stroller, and she said, I want you to know this is real important to me. My kids can now learn my family's native language, which is Arabic, and can talk to my parents. This means a lot to me.
Wow.
And that really hit home for me.
As it should. I'll give you a little hint on that. When I literally, the show before this one, it was live from the nation of Qatar, okay, Doha. Okay, where they're having this worldwide international conference. And I set that up through my friends over at the Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, the Qatar Foundation International. And just so you guys know that, in particular to Arabic, they are huge on giving grants and helping school districts teach Arabic in their districts. And they're wonderful people. They're based in the U.S. It's QFI.org, if you guys want to follow up on that one.
Thank you, Larry.
That's meaningful to that lady. Yeah, QFI.org, Maggie Salem, and she is the best. Okay, and it's interesting you brought that up because it's incredible. You know, I have to ask, when the kids – Pete, you can tell me this. Peter Finch is the assistant superintendent, teaching and learning. Peter, when the kids learn the language, okay, at the beginning of the school day, which I think is absolutely wonderful, okay, absolutely wonderful, as the day goes by, do the teachers – bring that out in the classroom as they're teaching various cultural things or scientific things or even language roots, etc. I'm just curious if it goes beyond an elementary school from just learning the language, because it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's still very new, but the thing that I've seen really neat is that we've had high school kids help to tutor down at the elementary school, and that they are sharing the languages that they're learning with our high school students that know other languages as well. So that's been a really cool cross-age peer tutoring that's happening.
It's really wonderful. And, you know, in a rural district, and Yakima is a fairly good-sized city. I don't mean to paint some picture like you're in the wilds of the Yukon or anything like that. Okay? But it's so important for the kids to understand other cultures, you know, outside of where they are. And believe me, I live in rural Maine, so I know from what I speak here. And I think it's just wonderful what you're doing. That is a great program. And so let me get it straight, 247 kids, okay, in 15 different languages. Who monitors that, Peter?
Well, one of the things, I'll go cut in here. We have a teacher in each of our elementary schools. We have, and some of them, we have so many kids, we have to have two teachers. So we contract with teacher for an extra 45 minutes to an hour every morning in order for them to have a teacher in the classroom. Now, one other thing, Larry, kids can take the language, and they can also take the iReady, our math and reading curriculum is all online as well. So if there are kids that need additional time in math and reading, parents can get them on the bus and they can come in. And finally, we also have kids that are learning to acquire English, where maybe Spanish is spoken at home. So the kids are coming in and they're taking
Imagine Learning,
which is a program to help kids ease the transition to learning English in school.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And I don't want those kids to lose their native language, but I want them to speak English fluently so they have exactly the same opportunity as every other kid. How's the blended learning going? Mike, we talked about that with Discovery. My old buddies,
I'm going to tell you what.
My good friends.
The other day I was with our high school principal, and I asked him the question. I said, you know, from one being barely scratching the surface to 10 being exemplary as a blended learning high school, where would you put your school? And he said, we'd be about a 7. And I said, really? I said, that's amazing that you would classify us as that. But he was so impressed with the number of teachers who have taken different programs to enhance their outstanding teaching ability and to provide students with a more personalized and individualized opportunity to learn. It's gone well, Larry. And one of the things that's helped
that's great.
Is teachers send me examples of what they're doing in their classes. And so what I do is I go down, I'll take pictures, I'll take video, I'll post it on the district website, I'll post it on my blog page, I'll post it on my Twitter, I'll get it out there in those newsletters that go out every Friday so that we're promoting constantly teachers that are showing exemplary use of blended learning models in their classroom.
Wonderful. Mike, do you have a communications director at your district?
Well, that's kind of under my – one of the things I sort of do. We're not large enough to have that. We have some really smart, good people in IT that help me, and they're good because if they can teach me, they got to be real good, Larry. So,
you know, I like I said before, I do a lot of work with NSPRA, Rich Bagan's group, and by the way, you guys, any district can tap into them, okay? Because they are so good on communication. And they may actually make your life easier, Mike, because it's hard for you to be the superintendent and also be in charge of communication. I was just curious because you're doing a hell of a good job, okay, in communicating with parents and staff. I think it's terrific.
Thank you, Larry. We work at it.
I mean it.
We can always do better.
That's good. Okay. In fact, I was going to say I was thrilled that your principal at the high school didn't say give himself a 10. He gave himself a 7. Okay. Because we never want to be a 10. If you're at a 10, you've got problems. Okay?
Yeah, you are.
The world's changing too fast. You know, and to say that and do that, et cetera. And how's the professional development-wise, okay? Are the teachers up on everything here and get it and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we redesigned professional development just a couple years ago to front-load in the summer. One of the things with substitutes, real difficult to get teachers out of the classroom with the teacher shortage and the sub shortage that we have. So we are running Summer Institute 3 days in June, 3 days in August, and we've been able to front load the professional development, which has been really good. Teachers have kind of hit the ground running in August, September, and be able to implement right away. We were on the front page of the paper for the use of a really cool tool. It's called Actively Learn. It's able to have students access primary text. And so we had kind of a classic assignment where students were reading W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington and comparing and contrasting different approaches to civil rights. And the teachers are able to have students access this complex text, but break it down, and they can monitor as the students are reading, have questions that they answer. I've been in the classroom, and it's just amazing because you have, just like it says, active learning, you have 100% active participation in the classroom. So instead of having a question that you throw out to the class in an oral discussion and maybe one or two students are really participating and everyone else is trying not to be called on, you have it online and you have these text blocks that students have to fill in. And then the teacher's monitoring that and asking, you know, more probing questions, getting the students to really go in depth with more detail. It's just amazing.
It is. I just Googled it. I assume it's the right one. ActivelyLearn.com.
ActivelyLearn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And they do have a free version.
Give a plug.
You can try it. Any teacher can try it. Of course, once you use the free version, they kind of hook you because you can use the free version a couple times a month. But as a teacher, you want to use it more than that. So it's a good way that they market their product.
Well, that's the way every company works these days. So that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in math, we have curriculum associates in grades K through 8. It's aligned to the state standards, and we're really hitting the ground running with that. We had Catlin Tucker Camp come in and do one day on a weekend. And we had, the blended learning in action. And there's a really good chapter there about station rotation, and some of our teachers were able to just take that and run with it. And they were just trying to spread that more and more across the district where you can have stations and have small group instruction going on so you can have even better differentiation going on for student learning. And we do see, like at the younger grades, kindergarten, first grade, that's just a natural way of setting up the classroom. But as we move into the middle level, teachers are needing more and more support to change that mode of instruction so that we can get more differentiation, more personalized learning for students, and really take the lid off learning. Let them go beyond the benchmark. Go benchmark and beyond.
There is no lid on learning.
Extend their learning, yeah.
Yeah, and really, and by the way, I just want to ask you, as we've got to wind down here in a minute, but I'm just curious. One of you, I can't remember who, mentioned the teacher shortage, and somebody mentioned substitute shortage. How bad is it?
It's a real concern, but we're being proactive to work with our local, we have a local community college, and they've dropped the community from their name because they're giving 4-year degrees now. And so we're partnering with them to do a 2-year residency where, even our graduates are getting tech prep credit where they can get some college credit while they're in high school for child development and get a head start on the education degree. Yeah. And then they can do a 2-year residency with our in district, and then we can, pick the best and get and hire them right away.
I am impressed with what you're doing out there. It's West Valley School District. West Valley, it's 208, right? It has a number. Am I correct?
Yep. West Valley 208.
Yep. Okay. And it's WVSD 208.org. That's out in Washington State near Yakima. Doing great stuff, Mike. It's excellent. You got good people. Peter, Chris, wonderful stuff. I just love hearing this stuff. People are always bashing education. It makes me nuts. And then I get you guys on and look what you're doing.
Larry, I'm going to tell you what. Thanks so much. It's about having a great team. It's about having a great team. And I'm fortunate to have a great team that I get to work with every day. A great team
of
teachers.
I know they're holding you up. I know they're holding you up, Mike.
You're good. You got that. Yeah.
you're right. It is a team. It's the top and everybody that works there. And I think it's just wonderful what you're doing. And, boy, you know who's lucky? The kids. The kids are lucky.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here for our families.
That is.
We're here for our kids. So.
Doing a hell of a job, I got to tell you. Thank you, guys. We got to go. Have a great day out there, and enjoy the whole rest of your day. I only have 4 hours to go.
All right, Larry. You take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Be good. Call me anytime. I love doing the show. Thanks a million, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Mike Brophy, the man, the superintendent over at West Valley School District near Yakima, and Peter Finch, not the actor, and Chris Nesmith. And Angela, I'm sorry you couldn't join us today. She's the assistant superintendent for business and operations. And you know something? They're doing great stuff. Okay? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Listen to Education Talk Radio. Let me get these people on like that, and boom. Okay? We get the ideas out there. Great, great stuff. I love that Rosetta Stone thing. And I met Michael through a Discovery program I did. They're working well with Discovery, et cetera. They mentioned, I'll find out more about this company, Actively Learn. Give them a little plug. Okay? And Rosetta Stone will be on my show on November 30th. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Can't thank you enough for listening.